Welcome, sports fans. William Hill Sports Show coming to you live from the Club County Eagle on ESPN 94.5 FM. Still getting my microphone dialed in just a little bit. There we go. I'm Kenny B., your host, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Just us two today, Josh. We're going to hold down the fort. Keep all that riffraff out of here. We'll talk some serious sports this week.
That sounds good, Ken. From the sounds of it, you know, we're talking before the show a little bit. Plenty of stuff to gamble on. We've both got some good and bad beat stories. It's that time of year.
Yeah, I can't tell. I really don't want to tell the monetary. I really don't want to tell the monetary story about the big ticket that I hit this week. But maybe I will. Should I share that?
You know what?
Should I share that? Should I let people know how much I bet?
It's your prerogative. One, I say you already do. If anyone follows the ESPN Kenny B handicapping Facebook page, as we always allude to here, they see the screenshots of a lot of our bets. I think yours are among the highest. I get a decent one here and there. But as you've mentioned before on air, Ken, we go out of our way to show that something we practice and not just preach, that we actually put real money out there. And
I'll share it. I'll just share it. So Sunday night, you know, me being a Dallas Cowboy fan, I had a pretty good day Sunday morning. And I really liked Philadelphia against Dallas. You know, I just thought that, you know, me being a Cowboy fan, you know, that they're not playing well. Philadelphia needed this game to stay in the race, you know, for the NFC East. You know, now they're 4-5 and tied with Dallas, still two games back of Washington. But I really thought Philadelphia, this was a huge game for them. So I was up about $1,500 for the day. So, you know, here we come to this Philadelphia game. So I bet $1,000 on Philadelphia, thinking I'm pretty good. Well, Dallas jumps out to the lead. So I fire up my mobile sports app, and I see Philadelphia. You know, I get them into like a pick'em situation. So I bet another $1,000 on them. So here I am with Philadelphia. You know, now I'm really only exposed $500 right now, because I wanted about $1,500 in the morning. And then, so, you know, they keep playing. I fire it up again, and, you know, and I'm watching the game, and I'm going, Philadelphia's going to come back. They're going to come back. They end up tying the game. And then I said, you know what, they're going to take control. Dallas is going to go away. There's no way Dak Prescott's going to be able to, you know, to weather this storm that's coming. And so I bet another $1,000 on them. So now I have $3,000 on Philadelphia, kind of way too much money for my comfort zone. You know, I do fire, but, you know, in an isolated single game, I certainly didn't want to be $3,000 on this outcome. So as if you follow the game, you know, Dallas wins 27-20, I think is what the final score was. So I take out. So I just. Blow the day. Go from a $1,500 winner to a $1,500 loser for the day. Just fantastic gambling, Josh. So the next day comes around Monday, and I'm actually talking to Nick McDonavich, the lead trader for William Hill. You know, and we're just talking, you know, just, you know, chewing the fat, talking about the things we like. And I said, well, give me about 8 games that you like, Nick. You know, and so we start talking, and he ends up giving me 8 or 9 games. You know, college basketball. You know, and so I put him down on a piece of paper, and I say, you know, the only way I can get this money back is if I hit a 6-teamer. It's the only way I can get this money back. And he's laughing at me, going, yeah, you can't do that, whatever. So Josh, I made $100 6-teamer. And I've never done that before. I mean, that's just – hitting a 6-teamer is outlandish anyways. I mean, just the odds of that happening are just – you know, it's – you know, 6, 13, 26, 52. It's 52 to 6, 13, 26, 52 to 1 on the card, you know. So, you know, 52 to 1 just right there. And that's probably not even the true odds.
Close to.
Exactly.
Right,
well, probably.
Right.
But anyways, I make $100 6-teamer. You know, I have North Carolina game. It's the early game over. It goes over. I have a Belmont game over. It goes over. Nick said, you know, I kind of like the Sixers game to go over tonight. So I threw the Sixers game, went over. I threw the Giants-San Francisco game on. It, you know, over. You know, it was an over parlay. It was over. You know, and so I get the first 5 games in. The last game, you know, I'm looking at it, and he says, I kind of like San Diego. We kind of like San Diego on this late game versus Washington. You know, and I look it up, and I go, you know, they're getting 9.5. I really like for it to be 10, but, you know, I guess I'll lay my hedge off play. The sixth team, I'm going to go ahead and take San Diego plus 9.5 versus Washington. Well, I'll be darned if I don't get the first 5 in. I get them in, and it's just stone cold. See, well, the football game went over late. The football game did go over late. It was on an overpace the whole game, but they scored late for the football game to go over. So now here I am waiting for the San Diego Washington game to score or to start. So I'm on the app, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, well, it's still 9.5. It's still 9.5. Maybe I'll just wait till tip off and just see. Maybe San Diego State or San it's not San Diego State. It's San Diego will stay close. They'll stay close. Then I can, you know, fire up the end game and maybe, you know, get off of it a little bit. So I wait. San Diego, you know, I never get off of it, you know, and San Diego's up by one at halftime. And so I go to bet the halftime. There's no halftime line. So no halftime, no in play. I'm dead to a $100 six-teamer that I can't lay off. I just have to sweat it. And I take a one-point lead to the game.
At that point, you're trying to open some online offshore accounts. Yeah,
wow. Well, I would never do that to jeopardize my gaming license. But, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of those thoughts going through my head. And so with that being said, you know, and I'm just sitting there. I'm going, wow, no in game, no halftime even? And I go, well, I got a one-point lead. It's halftime. Maybe I'm the favorite. 16 minutes left. Washington comes out and just lights out. Washington goes up eight. And I haven't added to the story, Josh, that it's not on TV or anywhere. So I'm ticker torturing on my, you know, on the internet and stuff, you know, just, and so I'm just sitting there and have to torture this game, the whole game. You know, Washington goes up and then San Diego would make a run. So, you know, I got down to, you know, inside one minute and Washington missed a shot. It's a 3-point game. So San Diego gets the ball. They get to come down and take the last shot. And my phone freezes. And, you know, if you're a gambler, you know, the one thing you don't want to see is I'm getting 9.5. I don't want overtime, you know. And so my phone freezes with about 30 seconds left. And then finally, the you know, it comes across final. And I think they end up winning by three. So I end up hitting the $100 six to get out of the trap. I've never bet $100 six before in my life. I go, you know what? I kind of like some of these games. And I like the way they're stacked, you know, so I can watch each one of them. But anyways, if you're going to hedge off, if you're actually going to hedge, listeners, the lesson here is make sure that you can there's the game's going to be available to hedge off on.
So exactly.
That's my story.
The moral of the story is sometimes desperation gambling pays off.
Yes.
Gets you out of the hole.
I just
when you're losing that betting, just bet more.
And I just laughed. I actually just laughed. I mean, of course you're excited to win the money. You know, I've had some big scores, and you're excited about winning the money. But, you know, you just laugh and go, really? Did I really just do that?
I know. It feels like stealing. You get away with one. Yeah. And Ken, another thing that's worth mentioning, I'm sure you're aware, you know, we all do this occasionally every week, and sometimes I'll fire up bigger ones just trying to hit the prize. But I usually do, like, say, a 20-buck eight-teamer. But sometimes I even go bigger with it. If I really like the games, college, I'm really feeling my oats, I might go 40, 50 bucks on an eight-teamer.
Yeah.
And occasionally you get in that great position where there's just the one hanging off. But one, as I'm sure you're aware, whether you do it on the card or anything else, so you made a pretty gutsy decision to take an underdog late because, as you know, even if you could hedge, sometimes there's not a clean hedge. So let's just say even if there was in play or whatever, you took the underdog at 9.5. Well, if the public totally came in on the chalk and it closed Washington minus 11, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Then you've got no middle. You're actually reverse middle where you could lose them both. So then suddenly you're hoping that you might be able to lay off. But what if at that point, you know, Washington comes out and just starts, you're blowing them away. You might never have a chance to actually get a hedge number. So that's a dangerous thing too. But eventually, of course, it all worked out.
I know. So anyways, that's my story, you know. And believe me, guys, I know the listeners, you guys might be out there, you just, oh, yeah, this is the truth. And Josh, you know how much I bet. I mean, I don't fabricate.
Tickets or screen grabs and all that.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, and then even last night, you know, listen, I'm going to give you guys one more story real quick. And just because it's just you and I can actually, you know, share some stuff. So last night, I was watching the Thursday night football game and the college and stuff like that. And, you know, not really, I didn't have a whole lot of opinion on anything. I did like the over in the Seattle Green Bay a little bit, ended up getting there late, but I didn't have any significant money on there. So the Gonzaga game comes on, and Gonzaga's laying a chunk in that game. They're laying 17 versus Texas A&M.
And A&M's historically pretty stubborn. I mean, they're hard to get away from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. And, you know, so I'm watching the game, and A&M was getting every bounce. I mean, Gonzaga was getting easy shots at the hoop. Easy shots at the hoop. You know, the bunnies weren't going in. They were missing, you know, loose ball. Every loose ball was a run out for A&M. You know how it gets tipped out. And every shot for A&M was contested. And I'm watching this game, and it ends up being minus 10. Gonzaga somehow is up 10 at halftime. I make four bets on the game. I have Gonzaga at 17. I have Gonzaga at 8, 9, 11, and 17. And I just kept betting it because you can tell what's going to happen eventually. Gonzaga is a beast. It's the first time I got to see Gonzaga play live this year. I tell you what, listeners, Gonzaga is good enough to win the national championship. This team is a beast. So what I'm saying is when you're watching these games, don't just, you know, try to figure out the flow. Make sure you have the mobile app downloaded at www.williamhill.us. Make sure you do that. And learn from the game. That was like stealing money from me last night. And Nick knew what I was doing because we were talking about it. And the first thing he texted me this morning was Zags because he knew that I quadruple bet it.
Yeah, Ken, that's a good point to make, especially early in the season in college basketball, because as you know, for Sportsline, I have to do a bunch of early research. So I figure I'm a little ahead of the curve in terms of, you know, we're doing future articles way back as soon as last season ends. So I got a little familiarity with the recruiting classes, what's going on. I've also got, like, we have the Phil Steeles for college football. I get a couple of the big magazines. So I like to believe I have a little bit of an idea of what's going on. But then these early season tournaments or neutral site games, I start picking up, you know, as much action as I can, watching it on TV, seeing what's going on. But another tip I might add, you know, you said Gonzaga's really good. We both know from having seen them up at Nevada, I think Washington's going to have a big year. But one thing, a general approach I'm taking right now, Ken, too, is in all the games I've seen so far, the Big Ten is totally undervalued. Like, Indiana's fantastic. Right now everyone talks, is Duke going to go undefeated? You know what I'd like to see tomorrow? I'd like to see Duke against Indiana on a neutral court, because I bet you it's closer than people think. Indiana has a high-rated recruiting class. They have 4 5-star guys. All over the place. Again, and also a guy who I think is a transfer from St. Mary's is really good, a post guy. So I already knew this. All my research showed me, yeah, Indiana's going to be loaded. And a guy who, you know, skipped going on the NBA last year and came back, who's really good, Juwan Morgan, a senior forward. So I'm like, you know what, they're going to be loaded. So the other night, same thing against Marquette. They're only laying 5 points at home.
I bet that game over, by the way. I bet that game over.
Yeah, but everything I had told me, even though Marquette's got a real experienced roster, I said, you know what, Indiana's going to be loaded, great coach. It's time to lay the points. That was a no-doubter. But Michigan against Villanova the other night, same thing.
Wow. I mean,
Michigan lost a lot of players, too, like Mo Wagner, right? A couple of good players from their Final Four national, you know, championship game team.
It's a rematch.
Right, but it was a rematch in name only, right? Because Villanova lost everybody, as we know, with the exception of, like, one guy.
And they were laying 7 points.
Right, same spread as the national title game. I get that they're home and everything. And same thing, Villanova has what's considered a good recruiting class, but you know much yet. But Michigan actually does have a few, they have their point guard back. They have a few players back. And experience-wise, it's actually way more than Villanova has. I just couldn't help think, you know what, this is reputation as much as anything. Michigan's good, at least early in the season, they're going to have an edge in experience and, you know, basically preparation for this one. And of course, as you know, they won the game at like 40 points. It was incredible. But also last night, Ken,
they were never in it, Josh. I mean, the first score I saw, they were down like 20.
Right, and it just got worse from there. Crowd completely out of it. And then last night, Ken, I was surprised when I saw one early in the morning. I thought it must have been a misprint. But in a neutral site, one of the tournaments going on right now, it was Iowa against Oregon, and Oregon's a 4-point favorite. And, like, how do you justify that? I know Iowa's got one of the better point guards in the Big Ten in Bohannon, Jordan Bohannon, a couple other real good players. I know historically they're kind of erratic. I don't like their coach very much. But I looked at Oregon up and down, like, they only have basically one, you know, Peyton Pritchard. They have only one or two guys who really contributed last year and a bunch of fresh guys coming in. But, like, on paper, neutral site, Iowa's got the experience. They finished pretty strong last year. How is this not closer to a pick 'em? I think they got the wrong team favorite. Same thing. I was watching it last night thinking, you know, Iowa's not even playing well. They're turning it over a lot, missing a bunch of shots in the second half. Led wire to wire by double figures.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? I said forget the points. I thought the line was so far off, I just went ahead and jammed plus 160 money line from the start.
There you go.
Got there. Yeah.
So, like I said, you know, learn from what you're watching. And, you know, there's a big lesson in that, you know, especially in-play wagering, in-game wagering. It's you're leaving money on the table if you don't have the app where you can actually bet games after they've started, you know, by watching the game, because you have the human element. It's an algorithm, but you have the human element. You can tell maybe if a kid is off, or one kid is hot, or one team is up and one team is down. You know, it takes a while for the algorithm to kind of it's not a human back there making these in-game wagery, you know, these in-game numbers or this in-game numbers as they go. It's an algorithm, so you can actually hold an advantage there.
I agree, Ken. Like you said, there's no, if people weren't aware, it's not like, you know, back in the old days or whatever, but like a smoky old back room, they get together. There wouldn't be enough time. So like I said, it's basically completely computerized based on the score and timing aspects, all those details at the given time. That determines what the spread is, and you're right. So you're sitting there watching, as you'll see, especially some of it in the NBA, a lot of it's ridiculous, but somebody will make like a 6-8 point run in the NBA, and you'd be like, okay, a 6 or 8 point run. We expect the other team to still win. You'll get ridiculous things where like suddenly the team that's favored by 6 points is a plus 220 underdog, and in-game, all they got to do is win. You'll find values like that all the time.
Absolutely. So make sure you download the Wimhill mobile app at www.wimhill.us. Full-service sports betting app right at your fingertips. You can populate it or make deposits on your app, you know, through your bank cards and credit cards and things like that. So, you know, once you have it downloaded and you make your initial deposit, you know, here at the brick and mortar, you know, basically you're in action 24/7. So let's – We only got a couple minutes before we head into break, so I really don't want to get into another subject. But one thing I want to remind everybody is that next Friday, Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods play their big head-to-head matchup. You know, it's in Vegas at Shadow Creek Golf Course. It's on November 23rd. You know, Josh, you and I were talking about this just a little bit earlier. It opened up like Tiger minus 130. It's all the way up to Tiger minus $2 right now, you know. And I'm looking at this, and they're almost pricing me in to bet Phil Mickelson now. I mean, I can't really lay 2-1 on Tiger. But, you know, I just, man.
That's what it feels like, Ken, because right, I really think this is one of those standard overreactions, right, to how well Tiger played toward the end of the year. It was nice to see the type of comeback he's making, but I'm sure you're also aware it's going crazy in the futures market for the Masters, where he's already the favorite among everybody else. I mean, he's favored to win the Masters, despite, as we know, having not won a major in a really long time.
Is that music to your ears?
But I think it's crazy. I also think it's a bad omen, though, given that, I mean, it's just too much. Yeah, and he's been overvalued in all these tournaments forever now. And you're right, so this one-on-one thing, people are just kind of taking the recent Tiger craze and running with it. When you realize Phil, he's dropped off a little bit, but when you still look at their overall general, you know, they're pretty much close, you know, to the same age. Phil still had some pretty decent results, and it's just that. To me, it'd be like, it'd be the same thing if you were handicapping like a high-stakes, you know, heads-up poker match between two relatively even and accomplished players. You know the luck factor, so to speak, coming in at any time. Someone has a good day, there shouldn't be that big of a balance. You wouldn't see a price that big. And same thing with these guys. Like, yeah, maybe give Tiger a little edge, not a minus $2 edge.
I think
what
the public,
if Phil's just in the zone that day?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the public's obviously bet the lineup. I know that Nick and those guys open up around minus 130. You know, I saw some minus 110s for a while. You know, all of a sudden, you know, the instant success from on Tiger's side, you know, has made the public just push all in on Tiger. So, I would only have the dog in this. I'm not looking to make a lot of money. I'll probably put a $100 bill on Mickelson, you know, try and pick up 175. I wonder if they're going to have in-play on this. I should ask Nick that.
That'd be fun.
I abbreviated in-play golf. All right. Let's head off to our first commercial break. We come back. We got Wolfpack basketball to talk about, Wolfpack football to talk about, and a whole NFL slate. This is the William Hill Sports Show coming to you live from the Club Count Evo on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Count Evo.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Make sure you like the show at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, and you can get all of Josh's stuff also at Sportsline. Josh, why don't you give me your stuff?
I appreciate it, Ken. Like I said, Sportsline.com. We have articles, previews, picks for just about every sport, and plenty of other handicappers / you know, I hate the word experts such as myself, but people who are good in a particular genre, whether it's, you know, NASCAR, soccer, whatever sport you're looking for, we've got it all there, sportsline.com, and on Twitter at JoshNagel1.
All right, good deal. Wolfpack basketball tips off tonight at 8 p.m. Wolfpack has a basketball game. Let me get my stuff here. Play Arkansas Little Rock. You know, I looked into this game a little bit today. Arkansas Little Rock is 2-0 this year. They beat Tennessee State 83-67 and Southeastern Oklahoma State 101-92. Pack is also 2-0. You know, it's a big spread in this game, Josh. What did you see last time? I saw the last number I saw was 24 and 153.5. Pack minus 24.
Right.
Is that what you saw?
That's the last I saw as well. As you know, yeah, it's obviously the word's out on Nevada. The tax is up, right? I mean, that looks like your average, you know, Duke versus Citadel line or whatever. I mean, that's a ton of points delay against the team, despite us not knowing much about them. Team that's won their first two games pretty convincingly and with obviously a high scoring output. That's a ton of points to have to give up, and yet kind of a reflection of what odds makers see Nevada in the power rankings right now.
I made a pretty sizable bet on the over in this game, you know, and I was looking at this. You know, you look at the pace of the game when you want to bet overs. You know, Nevada's played two games this year. They beat Pacific 83-61. They were laying 18.5 in that game, and the total was 154. Then they came back and beat they opened with BYU 86-70. They laid 12 in that game with a total of 158. Yeah, you look at this Arkansas Little Rock team. You know, they scored 83 and 101. So obviously they're not wanting to get into a half game set. You know, Nevada's been off a week. They haven't played since last Friday, Josh. So they got to be really chomping at the bit, in my opinion. So that was the reason I think the pace is going to be there on this game. Caleb Martin's yet to score a point in the first half this year. He's averaging, what, 22, 23 points a game. And in the last two games, those all came in the second half. He got in foul trouble against BYU, you know, so he only got to play, I think, 4 minutes the first half, maybe even less in the first half against the BYU. And then he came back with Pacific. and didn't score any points in the first half either, but just came out and lit it up. You know, I think this is one of those games where, you know, he's going to get going early. You know, I hate to say it's an inferior opponent, but when you're laying 24, you know, it is an inferior opponent. No disrespect to Arkansas Little Rock at all, but you know, Nevada coming off a week's long, you know, a week layoff, you know, pounding each other in the gym. I think they're going to want to get in on the floor and really hammer this team. You know, I don't think there's any way that Arkansas Little Rock can stay in it, but 24 is a lot of points. It's a ton of points. I don't really have any interest in laying the 24 points, but I do think that Nevada gets 90 points tonight. I really do. You know, and if they get 90, I need 64 out of Arkansas Little Rock, and that's well below what their point totals are for this year. So I'm looking for Arkansas Little Rock to get 64. I'm looking for the Wolfpack to get 90. I wouldn't be surprised if Wolfpack threatens the century mark tonight. And so I have a pretty sizable bet on the over in this game because I really think Nevada's going to be efficient. You know, this is probably the weakest defensive team that Nevada's played this year, like I said, and the Pack scoring 86 and 83 in their first two games. I think it's realistic, Josh, that my floor for the Wolfpack tonight is 90 points.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, Ken, like I said, we don't know. I admittedly didn't do a whole lot of research on Arkansas Little Rock because I had so much other stuff to research for Sportsline. But I want to say, without knowing 100%, but aren't they the team that upset Purdue in the NCAA tournament a couple years ago? I believe they are, but having said that, I know the coaching turnover, and they've rotated a lot of players. But nonetheless, just to make the point, not a team without a reputation as being a pretty solid Division I team. And as you mentioned, even no matter what variables are at stake and how much of a mismatch it might appear to be on paper, 24, no matter what, is going to be one of those vulnerable spreads. It just is. Because mm-hmm. You're right, even if Nevada, if they could name their number, so to speak, they might choose not to. They might, if they're up comfortably, just put in a bunch of you know, bench guys to see, hey, who might earn a spot in the regular rotation, that kind of thing. And, you know, especially a team who comes this far and they don't want to necessarily get embarrassed, the underdog's probably going to play hard until the end. So I think you're right, no matter, and even if you really knew, you know, thoroughly about the roster of Little Rock, it's a spread, it's better left alone.
But, you know, two things I see here too, Josh. You know, one thing we do, one of the main reasons I have the mobile app is because Nevada and over in the second half has been a monster. It's 4-0 this year. 4-0. So basically what you're saying, you know, what we do every home Nevada home game is bet Nevada and over in the second half. One of them always usually hits. Nevada for some reason comes out at halftime like a caged lion coming, you know, that hasn't eaten in days, and they just destroy teams. 4-0 this year. So all four are in both games so far this year, Nevada's covered the point spread in the second half, and the games went over. Not, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, it hasn't even been close. So with that being said, I think Nevada gets going. You know, early on in this game, a weak layoff, they bounced all the way up to number 6 in the standings. You know, the highest, you know, obviously the highest ranking ever for, you know, the Nevada Wolfpack. You know, it's fantastic, Josh. I mean, here we are, the number 6 ranked team in the nation. If you're looking for something to do tonight, you know, tip off is at 8 p.m. You know, we'll be out there. So,
and I want to get a more, you know, focused grip on just how well Nevada's going to perform against the spread. Of course, I was all over them last year. I guess the point I'm getting at, Ken, is I already feel a little burned. Like, I think the larger point is it's probably not
I feel burnt on BYU.
Right, exactly. It's probably not a wise idea to ever fade Nevada this year. Maybe in a couple spots. But, yeah, that opening night thing, I still feel like I touched the hot frying pan and learned my lesson. I thought it was a great spot. Like, yeah, grabbing the BYU in the 14. I just watched that sucker fall apart in the last 5 minutes. And even though I got that fading Nevada, it's like it makes you hesitant to jump back in on their games. Yep. Regardless. I got to get back in the flow, though, because obviously I think they're going to cash a lot of spreads this year.
You know, talking to Nick Bogdanovich about this trend, he says it's the most amazing thing he's ever seen. He can't make the lines high enough at halftime. You know, and my friends just chomp it. They're like, my friends, they go to the game, Josh, just to wait for halftime. And they want to get the first line and right. Get in fast because it moves. I mean, you're seeing some movement in these halftime lines on Nevada Wolfpack games. You know, and it's exciting. So, you know, Nevada tips off at 8. You know, make sure you download the. You know, Nevada's, like I said, has been. The one thing that concerns me maybe a little bit is Nevada, like I said, had a week off. They play 3 games next week. You know, they come in on. They play Cal Baptist on Monday, on the 19th. Is that Monday or Tuesday? 19th is Monday. They play Cal Baptist on Monday. Then they travel to Vegas and they play Thursday and Friday. They play Tulsa on Thursday. And then I believe they play They haven't announced the opponent for Friday yet, but I do believe it's the winner of, I can't remember who, Southern Illinois, and somebody else. But so Nevada's going to play three games next week, Thursday and Friday. So Monday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm not exactly sure what they're going to come home for 2 days. But then they have the big rematch against Loyola Chicago that following Tuesday. And I said this a few months ago. I said as soon as they announce this game, make sure that you, as soon as that line comes out, you better bet the Pack, because believe me, there's a sour taste in Nevada's mouth about that loss in the Sweet 16 game last year. You can say whatever you want. There's a sour taste there, and they're going to be out for revenge. And I guarantee you, Coach Muss, he's going to downplay it, but you're going to see a focused Nevada team versus Loyola Chicago next Tuesday. Yeah. A week from next Tuesday.
And again, in the recent history suggests in those sort of revenge spots.
Michigan, Villanova.
I was saying one. That's the other night. Like I said, your rematch would be sort of put in air quotes because it's almost all new players. But nonetheless, yeah, that's a great example.
But not for
that's
us.
Michigan's got more experience. But as it pertains to the Nevada example, though, like I said, just looking over the past few years when something's kind of happened and then, you know, Nevada has a chance at the rematch. My point being, look at UNLV's sequence last year.
Yeah.
Where they came up, played the game of their lives, and never did anything after. I mean, that was UNLV's, you know, Final Four right there. To come in to Lawler, put a, you know, really good performance together, beat Nevada as about a 9-point dog, even though, you know, Caleb Martin was out. Having said all that, I know they didn't like it. Of course, Nevada was embarrassed to lose to their fierce rival on their home court. So, yeah, just wait for that rematch. Comes back down, I believe, I want to say late in the season, but strictly because of that, I think Nevada was only about a 2-point favorite in Vegas in the rematch. And, yeah, Pack goes down there, having already wrapped up the Mountain West and nails them by like 35.
So yeah. you think this guy doesn't have revenge? He knows revenge,
right,
buddy. And that's the reason I'm saying, listeners, as soon as that line comes out, that Loyola Chicago Nevada line, as soon as it comes out, bet Nevada. I'm giving that to you right now. Very exciting stuff. Pack, like I said, Pack tips off tonight versus Arkansas Little Rock, 8 p.m. down at Lawler. Pack laying upward 24, totals 154.5. I have weighed in on the over, Josh. I do think the Pack gets at least 90 and approaches the century mark tonight. And I'm still going to need Arkansas Little Rock to get their 64. You know, so with that being said, pace should be there. I'm comfortable in this spot tonight with betting this game over. Nevada travels to San Jose State tomorrow. You know, we talked about some time moves, Josh. We know that they did announce today that there's a game coming to Mackey tomorrow. They moved the UC Davis Sac State game to Nevada, so it's going to be played at Mackey tomorrow. So if you're looking for some college football, you know, you've got UC Davis versus Sac State. I'm not sure exactly what the time, so do a little research, listeners. But, you know, there'll be a college football game at Mackey tomorrow because they moved it because of the fire. They also moved the starting time for the Wolfpack San Jose State game to noon also. So they actually moved that up 2 hours. So if you're expecting the kickoff to be at 2, it's at noon. So don't tune in at 2 and expect to see the game. You'll probably only be seeing the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's good to have an awareness of all that, Ken, because you're right. The fires affected all kinds of sporting events. I know some Stanford basketball, volleyball was canceled this week, so it's good to yeah, just have an awareness of what's going on. Speaking of which, you realize the Stanford-Cal football game is also canceled. It's been postponed. So that's going to happen. Actually, I guess they're going to play it first weekend of December, the weekend when all the championship games are happening. They're going to reschedule that, but they just decided apparently up at Berkeley, you know, of course, they got all the biologists, everyone up there said, yeah, air quality is too bad. Can't play this game, so that one's canceled. But as you mentioned, Ken, with the late notice on this Davis-Sacramento State game, I was thinking, if you're local and you have nothing better to do, that'd be cool, even if you have, you know, no affiliation for either team. You know, just pretend that you do. Somehow get a hold of, like, some, whatever, Sacramento State or UC Davis gear and then just go cheer like crazy because, hey, the game's in your backyard. It's probably cheap tickets and not anticipating probably, right, anything in the realm of a sellout crowd. Just go check it out.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about this Nevada San Jose State game. I'll tell you what a performance Nevada put on against Colorado State last week. If you had the over, boy, you really think that you're talking about bad beats. What did Nevada score last week?
49?
They scored 49. You would think that if one team was getting 49, you're going to get the game over 63. I mean, the other team only needed 14. Nevada had a chance for a shutout in that game. Very surprised late in the game, though, when they kicked a field goal for some reason. It was like 49-7 or something like that.
Right.
Colorado State scored, or they were going down to score, and they said, "No, we'll make this 49-10." Josh, what? Come on, bud.
I don't know. I'll never understand that kind of rationale. Like you said, when you're down,
I've heard of moral victories like let's get the goose egg off the board, but
exactly, that would make sense if they're down 59-0 and fourth down, kick the field goal.
But. Yeah. So yeah, what a a butt-whipping Nevada put on Colorado State last week to become bowl eligible. You know, and everybody knows, I've been preaching it, who's got the pack over 5.5 wins for all the money? This guy. And I said it, Josh, and I kept saying it. I told everybody to listen, and I said we're going to win 7 games. We might win 8 games. The pack's going to be favored these last 3 games. They're favored tomorrow on the road 14.5 with a total of 59. It's up to 14.5. 59.5 is the total. San Jose State, the 119th ranked offense in all of NCAA football, 330 yards a game. They're only averaging 64 yards on the ground, Josh. And something has happened with the Nevada Wolfpack defense. Monsters, absolute monsters, you know, being able to hold Colorado State, you know, scoreless, you know, late into the game, you know, and San Jose State's going to have trouble scoring. I hope it's not a letdown game. That's the one thing that concerns me a little bit, but I don't think they're going to be able to throw against Nevada. I think Nevada, once again, is going to have their will. Nevada's ranked 41st in the entire nation in offense, 439 yards a game, 157 on the ground, 281 through the air. The Pack's sitting right there at 6-4 with a chance. You know, like I said, they're going to be favored this week. They're favored this week against San Jose State. They're going to be favored next week against Vegas. They could end this year at 8-4. This is a much improved football team, Josh. A much improved football team.
Yeah, I agree, Ken. Especially, and I'll say this: you might make some gradual improvements in certain areas or whatnot, but especially after that Toledo game when Toledo scored 66 points, seemed to score on every other play. It looked like worse than flag football defense out there. I really thought, you know, this is going to be such a liability, even though we know the Wolfpack can score. I mean, I just didn't see, like, how are they going to be competitive with a defense that was that big of a liability, as we also know gave up a huge second half to Oregon State, a game they should have put away. And so I just thought that was going to be, you know, such a downfall of the overall profile of the team. I worried about what kind of strides they would make. But then you see what game, yeah, even I want to say the Air Force game struck me as, I don't want to say fluky, but the secondary was the biggest weakness we had. Like, all Air Force does is run, so no wonder you're probably going to look a little better when all you really have to do is worry about, you know, the line of scrimmage assignment football, basically. But as time went on, like I said, this is no joke. They proved that the improvement was not fluky in any regard, that it was significant. The letdown factor, though, I think comes into play because you got to realize, Ken, there's a few things. Not only is Nevada wrapped up a bowl bid, and it was huge to win their final home game. There's a lot on the line against, granted, kind of a subpar team, but still. No letdown against Colorado State. This one's tough, though, Ken, because you realize it's an early start of an early start. As it was, 2 p.m. kind of gets you at the doldrums, noon. It's like, seriously, if you're one of the kids, one of the players, what, you got to report at the stadium by like 9 a.m.? It's tough to play in San Jose State. I'm familiar very much so with the area. No one shows up. The Spartans are terrible this year.
You had the same analogy last year for a game, and you were absolutely correct.
Yes.
I remember this game.
I know. Believe me, because I went to San Jose State. I know all about the sports there and lack of passion for them. Even when they're good, no one cares.
Pack has more people at practice
than they
have.
San Jose State was good. You know, the Colorado coach, McIntyre, was there a few years ago, got San Jose State to a bowl. Even when they were good, you know, you're lucky if you get 5,000 people. Tomorrow, it's going to be, believe me, it's going to look like one of those MAC games in the freezing snow where it looks like the bleachers are completely empty. Is there, like, plenty of good seats still available? They'll be out in the street begging people to come in for free, fill those stands. And you would think that'd be a bad thing, but sometimes the better team suffers because they're like, yeah, what do we have to play for?
Well, the Pack's going to be able to run the ball and stop San Jose State. You know, let's look at the motivation factor real quick before we go to commercial break. Pack 6-4 right now, 6-4 versus the spread. San Jose State's 1-9. Do you think they're really going to be motivated for this game?
It's a good question. I just wonder if, you know, amid the circumstances and everything, if they might be the team that's inspired to play as hard as they can.
10-point teaser. Tease the pack down to four. The Pack's not going to lose this game. I mean, I think the Pack continues this role. I think they stay on the right path. I think Norvell's going to keep them focused. You know, this is very impressive. This 6-4 football team, I'm very impressed with them.
What do you think, though, Ken? Not only is it hard to maybe to get up for San Jose State, but I think you're right. Nevada could even be flat and still win it convincingly. Well, that's how bad San Jose State is. But with the look ahead spot.
I was just going to say that.
That's the real thing.
Vegas the following week.
Right. That's so what makes you
We'll
wonder.
Be there. We'll be there. I'll be there. You'll be doing the radio show here for me that week. We have to head out for our next commercial break. We still got NFL to jump into and two college football games still yet to kick off tonight. Josh, I need to get your opinions on that when we get back on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
We're back. You're at the Club Cal Neva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Make sure you like the show at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. We will be posting our best bet or best selections a little bit later. Plus, I have my my homework for my tout sheet with all the tout services and their top picks and the matches and everything like that. I've been posting that you know, on my it's my notes, guys. Understand, this is my notes and my stuff. I didn't do it. I'm sharing it with you. I didn't do it for you. I actually had somebody get upset because they said it was too sloppy and they wanted me to improve it. And I go, I was like, are you serious? I go, I'm just sharing my handicapping notes with you. I mean, I'm not. It's so I can read. It's like shorthand. Can't be shorthand.
But Ken, that's the equivalent of, like, you know, being a comp to free meal somewhere and then complaining about the food.
Yeah.
Like, what'd you pay for?
Yeah. Or they didn't fill your water glass half
right,
all the way up.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's like, so with that being said, if you want to use it, use it. If you don't want to use it, don't want to use it. But just I'm just sharing my information with you guys. So that's it. So if you don't like it, unlike us on Facebook.
Exactly.
And I hope the guy that's listening, here's what I'm saying.
Good. So today, for what it's worth, I don't pay too much attention to that only because, I hope you understand, my entire life revolves around I do the same thing
10
hours
you.
A day.
People,
that would just fry my brain. I do my own thing.
This takes me about 2 hours, you know, but I do it throughout the week. And, you know, and just people buy these towel services, you know, religiously.
Sportsline, $10 a month, cheaper than any of them.
There you go, Sportsline, $10 a month. Exactly, because these are like $10 a week.
Yeah, some of them will charge you $50 for a week.
Power Sweep, North Coast, Winning Points, Playbook. Power Picks, Killer Sports. That's, you know, what else do I have on here? There's a bunch of them. The Red Sheet, Gridiron Gold. So I'll be posting that on our Facebook page, and it's all the best picks from the tout services, you know that's put out these touts, you know, tout sheets. So that'll be posted on our Facebook page at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Real quick, Josh, before we still got to get into the NFL, you know, two games still left to kick off tonight. Memphis traveling to SMU. This game opened up at 8.5. It's been bet down to 7.5. All the steam is on SMU this game. On the tout service, there's a couple of matches on SMU. And I know one of the sharp guys that I follow real well, he likes SMU.
Yeah, it's a tough game, Ken, because, you know, it's interesting because I did research for this one heavily. I had to do a thorough thing for Sportsline. It's a bizarre game. SMU, despite being only 5-5, they're not even bowl eligible yet, but they're somehow in first place in the AAC because of a bunch of funky circumstances that included they started winning a bunch of conference games despite getting crushed in non-conference. Houston started losing up until last night. Houston had lost 2 in a row, and SMU beat Houston straight up. Therefore, they're in first place. Memphis is sitting there in the middle of the pack, although they have a very long shot type chance to get back in there. And so it's just interesting, right, because Memphis still has a top-5 scoring offense in the country. SMU has one of the worst defenses, and that's what worries me. And yet, when you look historically, Memphis is one of those home-road split teams. It seems like they fall apart on the road every time. So I can see why the steam is on SMU, Ken, because I really want to take them. They seem like the obvious spot here. They appear to be the team that's got, like, the better form going. And yet, that really volatile defense worries me quite a bit because it's a big thing to be concerned about. The evidence is on the total, Ken. 73.5, it's now 75.5.
Wow.
So they have this huge total. So they're expecting it to be one of those games where every time you look up, someone's running into the end zone. And it could easily go over even on the adjusted number. But so it's probably a pass for me, but I do think, you know, if I had to play it, I'd probably take that home dog.
All right, there you go. That game kicks off at 6. The other game kicking off at 6, Boise State travels to New Mexico. Boise State opened up at 19.5. I think this is up to 21, isn't it, Josh?
Yeah, at least close to 20.5. It might be 21 now. That's a tough game as well, Ken, because you might remember last week of the plays I gave, which included, you know, a couple college plays, even though I had yet to go off still that night. Remember how big I was on Boise against Fresno State?
Mm-hmm.
It was one I really encouraged. Again, I took the money line. And obviously it was scary for a while. Of course, they were down 14. But they came back, won the game by 7. Real important for them to get back in that Mountain West race to beat Fresno State. This could be a letdown spot. And historically, in the past few years, actually, when they were better, New Mexico gave Boise quite a bit of trouble. Boise surprisingly had trouble defending that triple option. And New Mexico had a habit of, I mean, they won in Boise a couple years ago. New Mexico has given them trouble, but they're so far down this year. I don't know if they have the personnel to do it. So, again, tough one. Way too big of a number, I think. Possible letdown spot for Boise. So I probably would at 21. I might take a small piece of the home dog.
All right. I just know how bad that team is.
They are awful.
They are awful. But, you know, Boise tends to, you know, Boise coming off a big win and stuff like that. You know, I see your point. I really don't have any opinions. I would probably, you know, you can get a pretty good edge on the parlay cards right now if you want to play SMU at plus 8.5 and then lay 19.5 with Boise, you know, and stay under the 20 threshold. Just find something to tie it into. Do you know what the biggest other line movement is for Saturday yet?
You said
Minnesota split
right,
to a favorite.
Been a few, right? Yeah, Minnesota opened up as like a 3-point dog. Now they're like a 2.5-point favorite. That's a big one. TCU Baylor's flipped some, Ken, too, because here it says the opening line was Baylor like minus 2, 2.5. I think TCU is now 1.5-point favorite. Okay. So that's a pretty big flip. We can go down the sheet, but there's been a few others. Actually, Washington, Oregon State keeps going down. People have no faith in the Huskies. That opened like 35, I think it's about 31.5 now.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, let's head off to NFL, Josh. We got to get these games in. Carolina and Detroit tomorrow. I need to get my sheet right here. Do you have your pro sheet ready, Josh?
I do.
All right, there's mine. Okay, right now it looks like Lions or Carolina 6-3 on the year, playing the 3-6 Lions. Carolina's 5-4 and against the spread this year, and 6 of their 9 games have went over. You know, Carolina coming off a loss versus Pittsburgh last week, where they just got absolutely shellacked, 52-21. The Lions, same thing, coming off a loss versus Chicago, 34-22. You know, I look at this game and I just. I don't fall in love ever with betting against the Lions at home.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Kind of like you mentioned, it's hard to gauge. Both teams are coming off an absolute drubbing, and I was in bad shape last week. I took the Lions plus 7 against the Bears. I wasn't sure I wanted to lay that touchdown with Chicago, and they never stood a chance. I mean, the Lions actually closed it. I think they ended up losing by like 11. That's closer than it appeared, that they were getting blown out the whole way. So, and same thing with the Panthers. You know, they were smoked early by the Steelers that Thursday night game. I just find it to be a tough spot because I don't know if I want to lay that road chalk with the Panthers, with the Lions falling apart.
You know, Josh, real quick, you know, I'm with you as far as the side's concerned. I have a question for you. The total's 50.5 in this game. You know, Carolina's got the 15th-ranked defense. Detroit's got the 19th-ranked defense in the NFL. So, you know, and I look at this, you know, Detroit's 101 yards rushing a game, and that's about what the Panthers are giving up. I mean, doesn't the 50 seem a little bit too high?
It does, for sure.
I think if I was going to weigh it, if I was going to weigh in on this game, I would probably only weigh in on the under in this game. You know, and that's kind of what I'm going to be looking to wager on, the under in this game.
Yeah, and in terms of the side, like I said, I would, if I had to, I'd take Detroit, but there's no real appealing side in this one.
All right, Cowboys coming off a victory versus Philadelphia. We already talked about that a little bit earlier. They beat Philadelphia 27-20 on the road last week. Now they travel to the Falcons and play the Falcons. Both teams are 4-5. Falcons coming off a 28-16 loss to Cleveland last week. You know, the strength of this game on offense would be the Falcons, 6th-ranked offense in the NFL, Dallas, 7th-ranked defense. But I like the Falcons in this game. You know, I'm a Cowboy fan, and I know that the defense for Dallas is pretty good, but it just seems like a light line, Josh. The Falcons, they still have all the talent on offense. They really do. Defense, though, Falcons, and I didn't realize this today, they have the 30th-ranked defense in the NFL. They're giving up 119 points or 119 yards a game.
Yeah, that's why.
On the ground.
That's why they're 4-5, though. As you know, yeah, they got shredded last week by the Browns. It's pretty funny. They made, talk about the Browns turnaround. I mean, they made Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb look like all pros. Like, don't get me wrong, they're going to be very good, but they made them basically look like Jared Goff and Todd Gurley. I mean, Mayfield, 3 touchdowns, 300-odd yards, and Chubb, another 100 yards. So, yeah, that defense is terrible. But you're right, they tend to be different at home in pretty extreme turnaround. You might remember, I actually kind of liked Dallas last week a little bit. I just thought, you know, desperation spot, their defense will hang in there, and Philadelphia has just been kind of erratic all year. But in this spot, do you remember they had the same game last year in Atlanta, and the Falcons routed it. It was 27-7. They sacked Dak Prescott 10 times, and the one guy who's not even on Atlanta anymore, but he set a franchise record with 6 sacks, the guy from Georgia Tech, I can't even remember his name now, but kind of a journeyman guy who had a career day. They couldn't protect Dak at all, and Ezekiel Elliott, that was during his suspension. And to me, it is. It's one of those turnaround things. The Cowboys, as I'm sure you were, but they haven't won back-to-back games yet this year. It's been completely a win followed by a loss at that cycle the whole year. And I do feel like it is a better spot for Atlanta, just in terms of, for what it's worth, they do have that firepower, a real leaky defense. But, again, last week, Dallas played well on offense, but they mostly won it with the defense. They picked off wins. They got a lot of other stops. I'm not sure Dallas can stop them enough.
I just look at this game, and I think Dallas is going to be able to run the ball. I mean, Dallas, 133 yards a game. You know, 30th ranked defense in the NFL, and the Falcons, you know, they're giving up 119 on the ground. I think Dallas is going to be able to run the ball. It's probably going to be a pass game for me, but if I had to weigh in, I'm looking to probably bet the Falcons a little bit here. You know, you look at the total, 48.5. Dallas doesn't play high. If Dallas is going to run the ball, this game's going under. You know, so I kind of look probably to play the game under. I mean, just kind of one of those weird spots that I kind of like. So Cincinnati and Baltimore, Cincinnati 5-4. Oh, what I wanted to say about the Cowboys and the Falcons is both teams are 4-5. You know, you look at the Falcons, they're basically out of the NFC South.
Completely. They're four games behind.
They're four games behind New Orleans, where Dallas, you look at Dallas, they're kind of rejuvenated a little bit. They're 4-5 right now, but they're two back at Washington, and they still play Washington twice.
Exactly.
So even though they're both 4-5, the motivational factor a little bit, I think leans toward Dallas a little bit here.
That's true, and Washington could easily lose this weekend, so they could pick up
a game and still have Washington twice. Yeah. So with that being said, Cincinnati travels to Baltimore, Cincinnati 5-4. The Ravens are 4-5. Looks like Flacco's going to be out. You know, and I look at this game, you know, the Ravens with a backup quarterback, I want no part of the Ravens with a backup quarterback. Zero.
Yeah, I agree.
Zero.
And they're even saying Lamar Jackson might be out as well because he's been sick, so the likelihood is Robert Griffin.
Yeah, no official line from William Hill yet. They probably need – obviously waiting to see the status not of just whether Flacco's going to play, but who the backups – or who the starter will be. Will it be – they have two. They have Lamar Jackson and RG3. And is that right, RG3?
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing is there's some speculation they're going to keep – they're going to start RG3 and keep Lamar Jackson in his same capacity, maybe get a few more snaps. But I've kind of heard that maybe RG3 gets to start here.
Yeah, and that's because Jackson's had, like, the stomach flu all week, so you don't know about him. So, yeah, it's looking like Robert Griffin's going to start. And, Ken, I know, I guess William Hill has it off the board, but earlier today on Sportsline, we had a Universal, whatever, we had a 4. I don't know about the total, but we had a Ravens -4, and – like you said, I had no interest in them with anyone but Flacco back there. So
you look at Cincinnati 5-4 right now. They're only one game back of Pittsburgh right now. And, you know, let's think about this. To me, Pittsburgh looks like a world beater right now, and Cincinnati looks like a terrible team. But there's only one game separating them. Give me Cincinnati in this game. I mean, I really think that I'm going to take the points in this game. You know, I know that, but you look at Cincinnati's offense, 25th-ranked offense, 32nd-ranked defense. They're just getting torched by everything. Golly. I mean, I guess I'm going to need to wait and see what the line is, Josh. But what do you make the line, real quick? We got about 30 seconds before we have to go off to traffic.
Well, like I said, I saw a number today that was Ravens -4 with the expectation of Griffin in there.
Give me Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Give me Cincinnati all day at +4.
Yeah.
Give me Cincinnati all day, especially in a game that it kind of looks. And I know that A.J. Green's probably out too. Joe Mixon, he's going to be good to go. So absolutely crazy. You know, just we got to wait till game time to see this line. So this is we have to go off to traffic right now. So we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. Like Josh's stuff on Sportsline. Like the radio show at Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. Next game, Bears-Vikings. Bears at home, laying 2.5, totals 44.5. You know, it's defense. This is going to be a defensive game, Josh. Defense. Minnesota ranked 5th in the NFL on defense. The Bears are ranked 4th in the NFL on defense. Big game for Minnesota, 5-3 versus the Bears, 6-3. You know, Minnesota last week is coming off a bye, so they've had two full weeks to prepare for this game.
Yeah, Ken, as you mentioned, two top five defensive units. And this is the Sunday night game, by the way. It's worth mentioning. So it's going to be the primetime TV audience there, the 5:15 Sunday night start. And for first place in the NFC North. You know, Ken, I like the Bears. I think they're a little bit ahead of schedule. They hired Matt Nagy, and they thought, okay, an offensive guy, work with Trubisky and build up the defense. Because remember, they've got 6 wins now. They're over under season total of 6.5. So they were expected to make a couple strides, but not necessarily you'll be in playoff contention. So I think they're ahead of schedule, and they've performed consistently pretty well each week without much in the way of letdown. You know, the Vikings struggled early on. They've won like 4 of their last 5, but they weren't looking so great in the first few weeks. They've kind of come on a little bit. And what's funny, Ken, is you mentioned common opponents or whatnot. The Vikings are off a bye, but both teams in their last game just smashed the Lions, right? So the Bears did last week. The Vikings did 2 weeks ago, so they have that in common. But I like Minnesota a little bit in this spot. I just feel like, you know, even though they're kind of late blooming, they're starting to come on. We saw the Packers lose again last night to dip below 500, so they're probably not a threat to win the division at this point. So this game's going to have a lot of bearing on it, Ken, and they play again the last week of the regular season in Minnesota that might be for the division title. But I just feel like getting the points in this spot is probably a good play. I think Chicago's held up pretty well, but Minnesota's a little more experienced. pretty even teams. I like the points.
I do, too. I want to get it up to three, though. Hopefully, a little bit. If we get a little bit of money right now. I'm looking at the board. It looks like 2.5 and 44
and it
and
opened
a
half. Three and went down.
Yeah,
it
went
so
down.
Shows you.
Yeah, it makes sense. I agree with the line move. I want Minnesota. I'd really have Minnesota right here with the line move, taking a full field goal with Minnesota.
Yep.
You know, both defenses, 12 and 16. Both offenses, they're ranked 12 and 16. And the defenses are ranked, you know, fifth and fourth, you know, in the NFL. So
Real similar.
Yeah, real similar. You know, the Bears coming off a 34-22 win versus the Lions, and Minnesota coming off a bye. So give me the dog in this game, and I'm gonna get a three somewhere. Somehow I'm gonna wait, and there's gonna be a three. It's gonna surface, and I'm gonna snatch it up. I'm gonna move it right back down to 2.5. Saints in Philadelphia. You know, we talk about, you know, the Saints coming off of that dismantling of Cincinnati last week, 51-14. You know, Saints are right there. They're 8-1 right now. They have a two-game lead over Carolina in the NFC South. You know, Philly, for all intents and purposes, I think that their season's probably over after losing to Dallas last week. They're 4-5. I guess they still have an outside shot, but, you know, I'm not liking anything that I see with Philadelphia right now. You get the Saints right now. 7.5 is a lot of points, though. I mean, the Saints is number 5th ranked offense in NFL going up against the 16th ranked defense, but can Philly score, Josh? I mean, they're averaging 22 points a game, but I'm just not convinced that Philly can hang around with the Saints.
That's the thing. I think they can. This is more of – I put it this way. I like the Eagles a lot better in this spot than I did last week, now when they're getting the points. You know, for a while, too, because their secondary is banged up. On paper, it can look like a bad matchup because the Eagles played a poor game last week, but they also have secondary concerns, lots of injuries back there, and we know how quickly the Saints can get down the field. But in this spot, I wondered if, right, the Saints had that big game against the Rams. I wondered, did they have a letdown last week? No, apparently not, because you mentioned they just blew out the Bengals. But when you mix in the fact, though, that this is a bit of a desperation spot and a game a lot of people, I mean, if you think about it, figure it could be the NFC title game. Philadelphia's, forget, you know, Super Bowl hangover. They've been much worse than that. I mean, it's almost do or die. I just feel like with 8 points being such a huge spot in the NFL, and they can. I do think they can score. I'd be more concerned on the defensive end, but I just feel like, I mean, the Eagles, to me, are clearly the play. Even if they hang in there and lose by a touchdown, you still cash. I like it.
All right, so you like the Eagles a little bit.
I do.
All right, interesting game. You know, I look at it, you know, like I said, the Saints 8-1 right now. You know, they're supporting a two-game lead over Carolina right now, and it looks like Atlanta 4-5 and Tampa Bay 3-6. You know, they appear both to be out of the race for the NFC South. You know what, Josh, you're right. I'm trying to talk myself into betting, you know, not betting the Philadelphia Eagles just because I'm just have a poor taste in my mouth from, you know, what I saw last week with Dallas. I don't think Dallas is a very good team. Now I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't think Dallas is a very good team. I think that they're misbelieving, you know, where they really stand as far as, you know, where the franchise is right now as far as winning games and trying to win playoff games. And I think that it was just an anomaly. I think Dallas got lucky last week, but they did beat Philadelphia. And with that being said, you know, I like the product the Saints are putting on the field. You know, Saints 8-1 this year, 7-2 versus the spread too, Josh. So, okay, I would only – golly, see, I'm going to pass on this game. I'm going to pass on this game because I just don't know where Philly's head is right now. Colts at home versus the Titans. You know, both teams coming off a win. The Colts or Titans come off a huge win last week, beating New England 34-10 at home. The Colts coming off a victory versus Jacksonville. You know, I look at this Colts team. I like a lot of the stuff that the Colts are doing. You know, they're the 9th-ranked offense in the NFL, going against the 29th-ranked offense. But this line, it just, it's 1.5. I guess you got to make the Colts a small home chalk favorite, but I don't believe in the Titans, but here they are. They just keep winning. They're 5-4. They're one game behind Houston in the South, AFC South. And, man, it just seems like if I can get 2 points in this game, I think I'm supposed to bet Tennessee.
You know what, Ken, it's tough because you're right. The Titans are kind of hard to peg because just when you kind of start believing in them, then they'll lose to an inferior team and you're like, you know, a little bit confused with them, and then they jump right up and beat some good teams. So, for instance, we talked about this a little bit last week because they add the Patriots to the list of teams they've beaten at home. They weren't expected. I mean, they beat the Eagles before people realized how badly Philadelphia was going to struggle. I mean, they've beaten the Jags. I mean, they've beaten a lot. As you know, they beat the Cowboys on Monday Night Football on the road a couple of weeks ago. So they seemingly come out of nowhere to beat some pretty good teams and then have letdowns against lesser teams. I think the Colts are better than people expect. And, Ken, just basically, I feel like on the principle of going against the public, I like the Colts on this one because I think it's going to be a reversal. People are going going to remember that Titans upset of the Patriots, and, geez, they're really legit. Watch them turn around and just get blown out by the Colts. I mean, that's just the way they've been this year.
You know, what's absolutely amazing, Josh, is the Titans beating the Patriots last week 34-10, and the Titans have the 29th-ranked offense in the NFL. 29th. They're averaging less than 300 yards a game. And then they go and handle. So I can see the classic overreaction, but when you go back in and you look, when you look at the numbers, I've kind of changed my position here a little bit, Josh. I think you've talked me off of the Titans. I think I'm going to actually end up trying to buy down to one and get the Colts into a win situation. Andrew Luck, he looks like he's playing great. I mean, Andrew Luck's playing great right now. You know, they're averaging 266 yards a game through the air, and the Titans are giving up 228. So, you know, I think they're going to be able to move the ball through the air.
Makes sense.
All right, next game we have on here is the Texans traveling to Washington. Texans laying 2.5 to Washington, totals 42.5. Why are the Texans favored in this game?
Good question. I wondered the same thing, Ken. Earlier this week, I saw something on the ticker. Before Lions came out, I saw -3. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. It's Redskins -3, right? And then I actually saw it in our database at Sportsline. I'm like, hey, somebody loaded this wrong. It can't be. No, it turns out it is Jacksonville -3. The Redskins are historically really good in these spots. They beat Green Bay as a home dog. They're always right there. I mean, whenever they're disrespecting the Lions. The other thing I'm curious about, though, is they won last week in Tampa Bay, kind of an unusual spot for them. They often struggle on the road, but they won that game pretty handily. And I wonder, you know, there's just a little steam behind the Texans. I guess that's why, right, because they've won like 6 in a row, is it?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, don't those win streaks come crashing down?
At some point they have to. But I would say just based on, the recent history, Washington's
it's three.
Awful,
there it is.
Washington's awfully good at home, and I think I would just grab the points.
You look at it right now. Nick Bogdanovich, the head trader for William Hill, actually used 2.5 on the card, and it's already went up to 3. So there's Texans money coming in. So I don't think it's going to 3.5. I think I'm going to buy. When I get on break, I'm going to go buy the Redskins up to 3.5 and take the home dog plus 3.5. I know my buddy here, Mike, he's a Redskins fan. Real quick, Mike, do you like the Redskins this week, or do you like the Texans? He likes the Redskins. Of course he does. No, I agree, though. Home dog. I mean, you got a team leading. You got the team leading the AFC East, 6-3. You know, why not? I mean, seriously, why not? I mean, they're 6-3. They're 6-3. Adrian Peterson's over there. Redskins, playing pretty
Alex
good.
Alex Smith's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, exactly. So give me the home dog here, 3.5.
The defense has really made a big difference for the Redskins as well. Up front, they've been a lot better than I think most people expected.
Giants at home versus Tampa Bay. Nick used 1.5 on this. It looks like it actually money's coming in on the Giants. Is that 2.5? And what's that, 52.5, Josh?
Right. Yeah, it's a tough one, Ken. Like I said, the Giants were kind of the popular play on Monday Night Football. They trailed most of the way. It looked like the Niners were outplaying them, but then they got that last drive, got in the end zone, won the game outright. It's a 3-point dog Monday night. Can they do it 2 games in a row? I'm not sure, but if there was ever a team they might do it against, the Bucs seem to be falling apart pretty quick. But, again, in terms of the basic X's and O's, it seems like a tough matchup. The Giants are still kind of struggling on defense quite a bit. As we know, with the Buccaneers give up a lot of their own, but when they're playing well, their offense can generate a lot of production. You know what's the bizarre thing? Did you see that box score last week? Speaking of Buccaneers Redskins, I wouldn't know because I didn't even see a down.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick threw for what, 400 yards?
Right. They got
and they scored 3 points?
Yes, they got like 510 yards of total offense. They got 3 points.
Who do you blame that on? How do you blame that? You can't blame that on.
How do you pull that off?
You can't blame that on Fitzpatrick, can you?
I don't know, but 500 yards in any, I mean, that means they're going up and down the field. Like, how does that, does every possession end in a fumble? I mean, how do you do that? I don't.
Yeah, turnovers, red zone, obviously.
It had to have been.
Three and six Tampa Bay versus 2-7 the Giants. And the number one offense in the NFL is Tampa Bay.
Right.
452 yards a game is what they're averaging.
Right.
Only 91 on the ground, 361 through the air. You know, and then they're going against this Giants defense coming out, Giants won late versus the Niners, but now they're facing this juggernaut. They're giving up 244 points a game through the air. 25.3 points a game is what the Giants are averaging on defense. Give me Tampa Bay.
Yeah, that's the only side.
Tampa. I'm writing it down right now. It's probably going to be a prequel to what I'm going to give out later. So
right.
on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. So, I look at this right now, like I said, 27-23, Giants coming off the win versus San Francisco. You have Tampa coming off a 16-3 loss in a game where they had 500 yards in total offense. They're clicking on offense. Giants aren't going to stop them. Make sure the weather's good. Make sure the weather's good and the track's not sloppy. Track's not sloppy. Tampa Bay's going to move up and down the field just like they did the week before.
Right.
Denver, San Diego, you know, the San Diego Chargers, the one team in the AFC, 7-2, you know, everybody's talking about Kansas City, obviously, because of what they're doing, but, you know, Kansas City, or the Chargers have the second best record in the AFC at 7-2. You know, they're coming off a win last week versus the Raiders, 20-6. Denver's coming off a bye. You know, I look at this number right now, Josh, and it looks like it's 7, but they have the Broncos shaded a little bit at minus 120. That's off the board. NICU's 6.5 on the card. I like San Diego in this spot. I just like the direction they're going. This Denver defense isn't the defense that it used to be. It was ranked 21st in the NFL. 364 yards a game is what they're giving up. I think San Diego goes in this, you know, they're going to win their next two games. They're going to get to 9-2. They're going to beat Denver handily this week, and then they have Arizona on deck. You know, they're fighting for the wild card in the AFC.
Yeah, and Chargers, you know, the start is a little slow, but you're right, especially with all the hype that, you know, the Chiefs, Rams, all those teams are getting, the Chargers kind of under the radar in terms of what they've been doing lately. It's a tough game. I mean, they've been playing really well. I just think Broncos off a bye at 7 full points. I mean, the game's probably a pass for me, although to take a full touchdown would be tempting, but I wouldn't be surprised at all, except if they keep rolling to another 31-10 type of thing, wouldn't surprise me at all.
And Melvin Gordon's having a great year, too. I mean, they're all having a great year there in San Diego. And like I said, the team's 7-2, and nobody's really talking about them. You know, you're talking about New England and Pittsburgh, and you're talking about Kansas City being 9-1. You're talking about Houston losing three games and running off six straight. And all that's happening is the San Diego, or the L.A. Chargers, second-best record in the AFC, 7-2. Give me the home team here. I'm going to play some teasers on this game, and I will be playing some teasers to San Diego just to win this game. Let's head off for our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue with the NFL, get Josh's college picks, and probably some other stuff we'll talk about too. This is the Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping Show on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back. Don't forget, two things I want to bring up right now. The Pac game got moved to noon tomorrow versus San Jose State. They got moved to noon tomorrow because of the air quality. And the Pac plays tonight. They play at 8 p.m. tip. 8 p.m. tip. We'll be there. I'll be there, Josh. I'd love going to the Pac games. I have season tickets, but I'd love going to the Pac games. Teams, I bet it over. Everybody knows that. I bet it over. All right, what game did we leave off, Josh?
We got to go to Raiders-Cardinals next.
Really?
Yeah, we just finished up with Broncos Chargers.
Oh, the board is crooked because
they got a different order.
So we got the Chargers at home versus the Raiders. Chargers laying 4.5. Wow. I mean, how bad is this Raiders team? You know, if you're a fantasy football player, the biggest streamer this week is the Cardinal defense. You know, this Raiders team, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Raiders in the next 3 years. A lot of people are saying, oh, they're just rebuilding, they're doing all this. I'm not convinced it's not a Gruden issue.
Well, Ken, I think it's one of those things where it remains to be seen. I do think he deserves the benefit of the doubt for just this year, because if you look at the Raiders, early on they were actually fairly competitive. I don't think they anticipated losing Khalil Mack, and then one thing led to another. You lose Marshawn Lynch, and suddenly the way things were just going south, they decided to clearly pretty much pull the plug on it and just start from scratch, which is not going to really excite, you know, the fan base, especially with the team moving to Las Vegas pretty soon. But one thing I've said from the start, at least they were decisive. They didn't kid themselves and think, oh, maybe we can still pull this thing out. Writing proverbial was kind of on the wall, so they decided to just scratch everything. And I'm not sure. I just don't want to jump to conclusions, because I'm not sure Gruden suddenly just this idiot who, you know, the game's passed him by. They have had some bad luck. But you're right. I mean, it's a telling sign how far they've fallen with the Cardinals, who are pretty bad or almost, you know, touchdown favorite in this one. But you remember last week, Ken, I was pretty impressed. Remember we talked about the Chiefs out of principle. I took the 17 points. I told you I was going to do the money line. I actually did, because, hey, this stuff hits. Remember the Bills-Vikings game? So I put a 20 spot on the 10. You know, I've actually clipped some good in-games lately. I like to jump in. Those in-game long shots I'm pretty good at. But I took 10-1 straight up on the Cardinals against the Chiefs. And you know what? That was live late.
Yeah.
They've played them even the whole way. Josh Rosen's, yeah, they're trailing.
26-14 final.
Right, but it didn't have to be. It was 2014 when the Cardinals were driving, possibly, and I mean, they're going to put the heat on the Chiefs. Put it this way, if they score a touchdown, they're up with 5 minutes left. Does that not put some heat on Kansas City, who, you know, they might win anyway? But nonetheless, you know, the Cardinals down six are driving, possibly for a touchdown. Rosen throws a pick, and it's not a pick six, but close enough. Guy got knocked out at like the 3. They scored on the next play, and that was that. But still, they were in position to possibly win that game. They're more competitive. I will say Rosen, he's a turnover-prone guy, but he was better than I expected. So they're actually coming along all right.
I like the Raiders. Nick used 4.5 on the half-point parlay card. It's up to 5.5. You know, I'm looking at the stats right here. You know, you have a 1-8 team versus a 2-7 team. You know, both teams are historically bad this year. Arizona, the worst offense in the NFL, 32nd.
Oakland has to be 31st.
22nd.
Good.
Yeah. So but
that's just yards. Do you have the scoring averages?
Yeah. Arizona, 13.8 points a game. The Raiders, 16.3 points a game. So right. But look at the defensive side of the ball, though.
The total is what? Yeah,
27.
40.5.
Yeah, 27 and 20, you know, with the Raiders averaging 30 points a game, giving up 30 points on defense, and Arizona giving up 25 points on defense. This total is 40, is it not? What is the total here?
Yeah, 40.5.
Give me the over. Come on.
It's got to be.
It's got to be.
All those factors.
It's got to be the over. I mean, really, they're going to play 17-14? Come on. I think this is a game where both teams get theirs. It's a weird, weird game. Sometimes offenses just step up, Josh. They really do. You know, Raiders played pretty well last week also. You know, they lost the Chargers 20-6. You know, that's a high-octane offense San Diego has.
Oh, it is.
20-6. I think that going against the 23rd defense, I think the Raiders are live at plus 5.5. And I would split my bet in this and make two bets. I would take the Raiders plus 5.5 and bet the game over.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think the Raiders
just lost hope at Oakland only because I've lost a few bets on them this year, thinking that they'd be more competitive before they threw in the towel. You know?
I don't want to lay 5.5 with a 2-7 team.
I don't either. That's why I'll just pass.
Okay, I don't want to lay 5.5 with a 2-7 team. We're talking about the Cardinals that have the worst offense in football.
True.
So all of a sudden they're going
to
be
gotta score to cover a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then, so with that being said, I like the Raiders in this game, and I do like the over in this game. It just doesn't make sense to me. Pittsburgh, Jacksonville. Where are we at? What did Nick use on the card?
5.5 and 46.5.
Okay, on the card he used 5.5, 46.5, and that's exactly what it is right now. I don't know what the issue is with Jacksonville, you know, but this is certainly an overreaction to Pittsburgh dismantling Carolina on Thursday.
I agree with that. And Pittsburgh dismantling everybody lately, and how poor Jacksonville's been. And I'm sure you're aware of AFC playoff game rematch of last year. Jacksonville beat them twice last year and handily both times. Went up there and knocked them out of the playoffs. Obviously, they've done a complete about-face, and I really don't know what their issue is because all those guys were back on defense. I thought they'd be solid. There's always the talk about, oh, it's Bortles, the guy that brings them down. And yet sometimes if you look overall, his numbers haven't been that bad. I know he's had some big mistakes at costly times, but you know, in terms of what overall the issue is, it's hard to pinpoint because they took a major step back, AFC Championship game on the doorstep of beating New England, being completely out of it. And yet, I kind of like the points in this one, Ken. Like you just mentioned the overreaction angle. Steelers historically, at least lately, though, haven't played that well in road environments. Jacksonville appears to be a bad matchup for them, and Ben Roethlisberger throws a ton of interceptions against that secondary. I like the Jags in this one with the points.
All right. You like Jacksonville? And I think that's where a lot of the sharp money's coming in, too. You know, Jacksonville, you know, everybody talks about how bad Jacksonville's defense is, but on a yards per game basis, they have the number third ranked defense in the NFL still at 319 yards. And we all know about Ben Roethlisberger's home and away splits. Big Ben had a great game last week against Carolina. I think he threw for 5 touchdowns. Now he's going on the road against the third ranked defense in the NFL. I'm with you, Josh. It's a little bit of an overreaction. You know, I like Pittsburgh in this spot. I really do. You know, Pittsburgh 6-2-1. You know, they're a game ahead of Cincinnati in the AFC North. You know, they're coming off, like I said, the dismantling of Carolina, 52-21. They have Denver on deck. You know, and Jacksonville, they lost to Indianapolis 29-26 last week. But, you know, Jacksonville going home, there's going to be some pride here, Josh. I kind of like the home points here.
And, by the way, the Jags let me down, too. I had them. Well, the spread was a push because they were a 3-point dog. But, you know, they were actually trailing 29-13 at halftime. They made a little run before the break, and I thought, you know what, Jacksonville's going to get back in this game. So I actually took a decent piece of them at plus 750 on the money line, thinking this could be a good payoff. They go all the way down, Ken. They're about to either tie or win the game. Of course, they turn it over. They're in field goal range late, and I'm thinking, hey, if they get this thing to overtime, held the Colts scoreless in the second half, which is a big thing, right? 29 in the first half, 0 in the second. I thought Jacksonville was going to go there and get me another big, you know, in-game jackpot, but they came up short.
All right. And are we down to the last game, Josh?
We are. Chiefs-Rams, the big one, Monday
night.
Wow,
Monday night. You're talking about fireworks. The Rams, you know, going – they're at home. This game was supposed to be in New Mexico. In Mexico City. And the track was so bad that the players union came in and goes,
it
no.
off. Yep.
And so they're going to end up playing this game. Why couldn't they play this game at Mackey? How cool would that have been?
Exactly. They're moving college games here.
Yeah, why not?
Give us an NFL game.
But they moved it back to the Rams are the home team now. Rams laying 3.5. You know, versus Kansas City. You know, you look at Kansas City, and they're 9-1 right now. Against the spread, they're 8-2. You know, this Kansas City's a juggernaut right now. The Rams just seems like they keep getting into these big games. You know, you got the Rams 9-1. They're 4-6 versus the spread. Kansas City is just. It seems like they're a team on a mission. Number two ranked offense in the Rams, 448 yards a game. Number three ranked offense for the Kansas City Chiefs at 423 yards a game. The one thing that scares me here, Josh, is the Rams can play a little defense. They're number 13, but Kansas City cannot. They're ranked number 29.
Exactly. That's the huge thing, Ken. Like you said, the metrics add up. Offenses are similarly explosive, real similar numbers all across the board. So if you're looking at, you know, where does the edge lie, well, there's a couple things there. Obviously, the Rams have the home field advantage, although it seems like most of the visiting teams have their share of fans anyway. It's not like a huge thing like it might be in New Orleans or something. But in terms of the X's and O's, that's the huge thing where the Rams, despite they've given up 45 to the Saints too, it's not like, you know, they're the 85 Bears either, but they're a lot better. Kansas City is, I mean, they are close to dead last in a lot of defensive categories, which means they can be run all over. Because of that factor alone, I like the Rams.
So do I. Rams are averaging 144 yards a game rushing. Kansas City's given up 121 yards a game, so I think it's going to be girly, then over the top. You know,
exactly.
I look at, this is the highest
leads total, the league this in
is
rushing.
This is the highest NFL total this year so far, 63.5, is it not?
Yeah, it's one of the biggest I've ever seen.
Yeah. So with that being said, you know, you're supposed to take the highest total and bet it over, and the lowest total and bet it under. But I kind of might think that it might go under here.
I agree with that. Yeah, the whole sentiment, the whole world thinks it's going over. That's why it'll be, 24-20.
All right. Time to give out our selections. I'll give out Kid Marks and Mark Shannon's first. Mark, the Kid Vespi, he's going to come with SMU, Hawaii, the Kansas City Chiefs, and Indianapolis Colts. Kid, SMU, Hawaii, Chiefs, Colts. John the Hawk Stevens, he's going to come with Carolina Panthers, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Tennessee Titans, Pac football tomorrow, Wisconsin, and the Pitt Panthers. Mark Shannon's going to go with the Vikings, Jacksonville, and the under in the first half of the Rams-Kansas City game. I'm going to go, Kenny B, I'm going to go with Washington, Tampa Bay, and Minnesota for my pro picks. I'm going to go with the Wolfpack game over tonight in football. I'm also going to go with Utah State tomorrow,
All right.
All right, Josh, what do you got?
All right, I'll give you Vikings, Eagles, Jags, and two college picks being Wisconsin and Central Florida in the college
game. Vikings, Eagles, Jags, and then what was the college?
Wisconsin and Central Florida.
Wisconsin was the underdog play of the week this year, by the way, or, you know, if you guys follow that. So make sure you do all your wagering with William Hill. Download the William Hill mobile sports app at www.williamhill.us. Pack tips off tonight at 8 p.m. at Lawler. Make sure you get there. Noon tomorrow for football. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, on ESPN 94.5 FM.